Blog Talk Radio.
Like to have a love affair with and activate your own life force so you can live an unlimited life of everyday magnificence. Stay tuned. Welcome to the Healthy Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, healing through love relationship healer, somatic body psychotherapist, and health and wellness coach, helping men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love. Author of the Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me series and Love in the Blizzard of Life novel and Love Lessons for Your Soul. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter what age you are right now. And in every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who are proving that life can and often does get better and better as we reach our 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. Gabriella Masala has created a portal through which you can meld with the quantum field, and she'll explain what she means by that, in infinite creativity to achieve a glorious life that you may never have even imagined for yourself. She knew from the age of 3 that her mission in this lifetime was to transform, or to help to transform, human consciousness. A renowned yoga teacher and instructor in mind-body-spirit modalities, she was a founding member of the Deepak Chopra Center for Well-Being. She's a movement therapist and worked for Canyon Ranch Health Resorts and a mentee of the prominent healer, Dr. Joe Dispenza, that many of us have been following. Her book, Everyday Magnificent, helps you to activate your unlimited life. So I'm delighted to welcome you, Gabriella Masala.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here with you today.
Yes, and I would love you to tell us about how this all began, how you realized at 3 years old and what kind of background, education, training you have, what kind of divine mentorships led you to be involved like this and then write this beautiful book.
Great. Sure, I'll dive into that. That could be... A conversation of many weeks in of itself. So I'll keep it simple and say that like many of us, I think as children, many of us are deeply connected to the source field, to that divine, intelligent life force that's animating all life. My experience after decades of being in this field has been that really we come in really lit up. And some part of us knows that life is a magnificent adventure, and to take a human form is a miracle and an amazing opportunity. And somehow, as we grow up, I think conditioning and programming and narrow perspectives of reality, consensus reality, can kind of sleep and dump that out of us. So I feel really grateful that I never forgot what I knew in my earliest memory as I looked up at the stars, was that, wow, I am connected to all of that. And now I'm here on this planet and I'm here for a reason. And that reason is what I understood as a little child and went on to remember is about love, and it is about connection, and it is about the miracle of life, which is really more of what I point to in terms of our unlimited potential. And so from a very early age, I just started to devour everything I could in terms of education and possibilities about what is really possible for human life. And researched everything that I could, esoteric and metaphysical, from a very young age, was very connected to the invisible realm, the nature realm, spirit world, a lot of what would be considered the unseen realms. And as I came into my 20s and 30s and higher education, found all of the niches where I could dive in as a devotee and student of yoga, of Asian as well as Western traditions of spiritualities, as deep into indigenous traditions and shamanism, and to really learn from the inside out, what is it to be human and what is possible for human life. And I feel like as a species, Dr. Erica, we're still just at the tip of the iceberg of what's possible when we really get present and learn how to live in a coherent and sovereign way in our being.
Wow. Well, it's beautiful what realizations you came to. But in response to what you just said, one of the issues is that there are many of us really understanding this and attempting to live it, but we live in the real world, and the energy around us can be very dense and trigger us. So It's so important to surround yourself as much as possible with others who are on this path and working to enlighten everyone.
Definitely, yes, and it does require tapping the invisible realm to create a new vision for our own lives, for what consensus reality looks like, for what the quote-unquote real world is, right? So that it really does take both a deep, I'm going to use the word faith and trust in what we can see on the inside that's not determined by the programs, conditioning, and agreement fields of what still appears on the outside of us. I mean, it's such a revolutionary time to be alive and to wake up to our divine co-creative potential to impact reality, to shift the real world. It's not a casual thing, right?
Well, one of the things is that our thoughts are energy. Our energy field is more powerful than any of us realize. And a lot of times people think, oh, that's nonsense. But I always say, all you have to do is sit on a bus or a train next to someone you don't want to sit next to, and you can feel that energy. So when we increase our energy. So I have a question to start with. You talk about having a direct line to source or to that energy field. What does that mean, and how do you do that?
Sure. Well, you know, I'll bow always to the mystery, because anything I share with you is just from my direct experience and from the wonderful information and mentors I've worked with. So that really having a direct line to source, and the way that I describe that, is really uniquely for each being to explore and to practice and to directly experience for themselves. I love how Rumi, the mystic poet, would say that there's 1,000 ways to kneel down and kiss the earth. So that for me, a direct line to source means that in my meditation, my contemplative or prayer life, in those quiet moments with my innermost self, either eyes open or closed, in nature or in the middle of a big city, that I can find my own roots into my connection to the force field and the energetic being that is planet Earth, and that I can also feel my celestial connection. It's almost like being connective tissue between the heavens and Earth, and that I can feel that my nervous system, my thoughts, my emotions, my breath, my spine, that all of this is my direct line, that I don't need, though with all due respect to all of the world religions, I don't need a priest or an intermediary or a doctrine or a dogma to tell me what my direct connection is to the mystery of life. I experience that directly. So that's what I think is vital about it.
Yeah, and I love your description of this everyday being that is divine earth. You know, I mean, we don't think of earth as a being.
Yeah, it's a paradigm shift, isn't it? I think that's part of what we are straddling right now as a species. really making a paradigm mm-hmm. shift from a world that is based in the idea of we're matter in a world of matter, we are separate objects in a world of objects, to we are energy beings, we are love beings, we are beings in a world of being, and that we are connected to everything as one large energetic force field of energy, of mystery, right? It's a real paradigm shift, but it changes everything once you make that leap.
And then you talk about source, and then the mystery, and God, and the unified field. So how are they connected? There's a different term.
Yes. Yeah, again, like this is just where I have landed through my direct experience. I'm really a mutt when it comes to bowing down and in devotion and gratitude and prayer before the mystery of life. So I think it's Thich Nhat Hanh, beautiful Vietnamese Buddhist monk, who says at this point in our development, it's of no use to argue over who God is or what God is. Like, let's just all agree that there is a mystery and a force that's beyond all of us and includes all of us, and that we are being lived by it. And so rather than waste time on semantics or words, I just like to say, let's go right for that relationship. Whatever you call it, whatever you rest in the God of your understanding in your deepest heart, let's just go there and develop a more intimate relationship to it.
That's beautiful, because look how much friction goes on around the world between people of supposedly different religions.
Yes.
Just the religion, yes, and the cultures. And if everybody just saw it in this unified way, there'd be nobody to be against.
Well, that's certainly my intention and my way of life. And as we were even discussing earlier, that comes up in many ways, any moment, whether it's with a clerk at the bank or a service helper at a restaurant, or with a neighbor, or with someone that has completely different values or views or belief systems. We have an opportunity, actually infinite opportunities every day, to choose, will I stay in the heart and in the breath and in the presence of unity and connection, or will I go into separation? There's no shortage of opportunities to practice, right?
Yeah, as I was explaining when we first got on, I had a little irritation with a bank teller. She, almost every time I come there, she tells me to do something to combine the checks into one thing, and I want to do them separately, and it shouldn't be questioned. So I had a thought to go to speak to someone and complain about her, and I let it go completely. I just realized she's trying to do her job, even if it irritates me. And then it happened again at a restaurant, some little thing. And we have moments like this every day that we can make that choice.
Absolutely. And you know, when I say Everyday Magnificent, as is the title of my playbook or interactive journal, for me, it's not about achieving some state of perfection or arrival in some place where everything is always happy. It's more about connecting to the internal state within us, that we can trust what we know by heart, and that we can start cultivating a way of returning to deep breath, to presence, to connection, all of the many times that we are distracted, pushed off center, reactive, right? So this is part of the dance. It's not about never reacting again or getting irritated again. It's more about, oh, I've woken up to the reality that I'm not a victim to my environment or circumstances, that I get to choose. And that the more I practice, those choices can be as swift as taking a deep breath and smiling, as putting my hand on my heart when I'm overthinking or distracted, as feeling my feet on the earth and looking around and finding something, anything to appreciate or feel gratitude for.
Yes, what a beautiful way to think of it. So you talk about us having an unlimited nature and we can live an unlimited life. Explain how and why that matters.
Sure. To circle back on some of what we've just touched on briefly already, many of us humans are orienting our life from our thinking mind. And so we are going to see then a world by agreement that is much more analytical, logical, separate. It measures, it judges, it defines, and that's a beautiful part of our thinking mind, not to be dismissed in any way. However, it is not the fullness and the wholeness of our being. So that as we start to also, like a sacred marriage, you know, not one or the other, but really in a whole way, tap our intuitive part of our brain, our creative part of our brain, when we get that whole brain intelligence online and lit up, when we are willing to go outside of the norms and conventions and condition of what we've been told, again, quote unquote, this is reality, but we start to create in a way where we realize we are co-creators. We're part of what we see. You know, Dr. Joe Dispenza, who's one of my dearest mentors and teachers, says we don't see the world as it is. We see the world as we are. So when we start to become aware of our beliefs and our agreements and our ways of shaping reality, we are so much empowered to this unlimited part of our nature. And then there's the heart intelligence, which is so powerful and often overlooked, the part of our being that has access to the whole field of energy, empathy, compassion, forgiveness, kindness, and then, of course, our bodies, which have so much body wisdom. So when we really start to get all of our intelligences online and working in concert, right, like a beautiful symphony where all of the instruments have their contribution to a bigger, greater whole, we are tapping the unlimited part of our nature. And when we're tapping this part of our being, we're then able to move through the world and through our lives in a way that we wake up to our co-creative power in how we want to design, not just what we want to experience, but how we want to be in the experience of whatever can arise in a human life.
And what I've experienced several times is someone at a yoga intensive, a meditation intensive, in a church, in places where they go there to have the spiritual experience, but they've got anger and they've got issues that, you know, as soon as they're out of there, you see them react, and even while they're in there sometimes. And so what you're saying is it's not only going for what you want, but how you deal with it and how you deal with it in all circumstances.
Definitely, definitely. And that was a lot of my inspiration for creating this interactive journal, that it's about how do we take the insights and the deep peace and the awareness and the connectedness that we might feel in that 90-minute yoga class, or in the half hour on our meditation cushion, or in mass on Sunday at church, or wherever we do our quote-unquote spiritual devotional work. But how do we bring that out into the living meditation of daily life? How do we bring that level of attention, appreciation, awareness, compassion, devotion into our daily living? And when we do, that's where the tips, the scales really tip, and we start to feel like, oh, this quality of love, this quality of connection can be in my daily life. That makes a life pretty magnificent.
And that's the lesson. So many of us go somewhere to meditate, somewhere outside of our everyday life to meditate. Then we come back into our life the same. You know, and it's really bringing that. So another concept that you talk about is comparing quantum reality to Newtonian reality. Please explain that.
Sure. I love this conversation. And again, we've already been touching on it. So that Newtonian-based scientific reality or paradigm or worldview is one where we're really focusing on matter. And again, it would say that we are matter in a world of matter, that we're objects in a world of objects. And in this worldview, change is hard and takes a long time. We have to exert force over matter. And it's a paradigm of separation. We could just say it's the old story of separation. Since about the 1920s, there's been new information, which is only now making its way into the mainstream, which is quantum-based reality. Again, you could look at it as science, or you could look at it through more of the esoteric or mystical lens. But in essence, what it's saying is that actually we are energy in a field of energy, and we are not dense particle matter, but we're actually waves. And at a certain place in the spectrum of waves of energy, the waves are slow enough and dense enough that particles form. And then we have our three-dimensional reality, right? We have our bodies. We have all the ways that we can say there's a you and a me, a right and a wrong, a good and a bad. None of this is to be dismissed. It's just part of the wholeness of our unlimited being. But in Newtonian-based reality, would say all there is are those three dimensions, those slower waves that are still energy, but they're so slow that particles can appear. But quantum physics has measured that particles are potentialities in an infinite field. And actually, as we use the additional waves of our whole unlimited energy field, that would include, you could look at it through the model of our energy centers or chakras. You could look at it through the model of the frequency of emotions, right? That at the solar plexus or at the navel, we might say that it's the frequency of Newtonian reality that is a separate I. But then when we jump into the frequency or wave or energy of the heart, it's a faster frequency, and suddenly we go from the I to the we to the us to wholeness to unity. And then onward, there's so many beautiful ways to look at this that have been proven by science. But in essence, the new ancient way, because this is the way that many mystics and ancient peoples have known and practiced, that the quantum-based model of reality is really much more accurate to describe that we are energy in a world of energy, and that we can work in the world of energy in the invisible realm with our thoughts and feelings, which are electromagnetic, to impact matter in the physical world of perceiving three dimension. So I may have lost some people on that, but I'm going to pause and see if you have any questions or clarifications.
Well, it's you're speaking to the choir with me, but and a lot of my followers would understand this. But it does. That's why a lot of questions help, so that you explain this and that, and it
right.
opens people up to understand it. So another question you talk about is unity coherence. What do you mean by that?
Sure. So unity coherence is a baseline. It's a baseline practice in the Everyday Magnificent Journal, but it's also a baseline practice whether you ever see this book or hear anything from me again or not. It's something that we can start practicing immediately as a way to bring the whole brain intelligence and the heart into coherence. And what that means is that they are functioning in a state of balance and connection and ease. And so we can practice this by very simply closing our eyes for a few moments, maybe even placing a hand on the heart or chest, starting to imagine that our breath is coming in and out of the heart. And then maybe even slowing the breath a little bit to about 5 or 6 counts on an inhale and on an exhale. Starting to focus our attention here for about 3 minutes. You can stop there, and you've already connected heart, brain in a coherent, synergistic flow of energy, which reduces cortisol levels, increases endorphins, increases the nervous system and immune system response in a more calming and connected way. It downregulates genes that would be disease causing. It upregulates genes that would be health and vibrant. So what we want to do is start to feel that connection of unity between the whole brain and the whole heart intelligence. And then if you wanted to add more to that, eyes still closed or even open them if you want to, starting to flood your field with the felt sense of gratitude, of appreciation, anything that you feel genuinely grateful for. And again, remember, we're not just talking abstract concepts. Our thoughts and our emotions have a powerful impact on how we create our realities. So starting to draw up feelings for your loved ones, for the ability to rise to another day, to breathe deeply, to be nourished, anything under the sun that you feel grateful for starts to shift the biochemistry of our bodies. And appreciation and gratitude, as you know, is a fast track to health, to longevity, to wholeness, to calm. So that's unity coherence.
Absolutely. It's beautiful. I spoke with Dr. Bernie Siegel, who is a medical doctor working with cancer patients. He had a group many, many years, like 30 years ago. And he said that the people who survived were the ones who felt that gratitude, who wanted to be alive and appreciated and did some of what you're talking about in whatever way he taught it. But That's huge. And I've known some people getting ill and dying and so negative that there's no way they can heal.
Yeah, so that's, you know, one of the ways we can talk about that is through densities and frequencies and energy, that all disease is a lowering of frequency. It's a lowering of vibration. And so with all due respect and honor, because often disease and heartache and grief and challenges happen in every single life. And so how can we have compassion for the journey, have compassion for the opportunity that this is giving us to come more alive, even if it takes our life in the end, that disease can be a great teacher and crisis can be a great opportunity to find a way to choose to come deeper into our hearts, our compassion, and then to find the higher vibrational states that support us to the difference between something that would become poison or something that would become medicine. And gratitude, as you know, is a very high, fast frequency. It's a high vibrational state. It's like applying the greatest, most healing medicine on anything that is occurring in our lives to find a place, a truly vibrational, feeling, thinking place of gratitude. Is amazing medicine.
Mm, that's beautiful. So there's so much wisdom in what you're saying. So I still have a few more questions. You talk about dream designs. What are dream designs?
Dream designs in the journal are kind of oval-shaped mandalas. And mandala is a Sanskrit word that means sacred circle or magic circle. And the way that they're used in this interactive, playful journal is as an open kind of laser point. You know, that circle is a sacred geometry symbol of wholeness. And when we take our design of color and image and symbols and put it into a circle, it naturally creates a state of wholeness and integration and balance in our brains. So the dream design is taking some aspect from the invisible realm, from our unlimited possibilities, unlimited nature, that a potential that we really want to bring into manifest reality, into three-dimensional reality. It could be a state, say that it might be a state of vital health if we're in a diseased or challenged state. And so the dream design works in that we make a small monochromatic energy sketch, a picture. We do not have to be visual artists to engage in this at all. And put ourselves in our present state, and then in the larger scope of that dream design mandala, we then put the color, the image, the energy, we fill it up with the full blast, vibrant, manifest reality of how it will look when we are in our, again, that example, our most healthy, happy, whole, integrated state. And so we're going to make that energy sketch of ourselves. And while we're doing it, we're feeling, how will I feel? How will I look? What will I experience? What will be the experience in my body? What do I see in my environment? And we fill it up with color, pictures, images, symbols. And the brain then starts to get busy creating that reality. There's so many tests that have been done that I'm sure you're aware of, that journaling and writing something down actually increases the possibility of that being manifest tremendously. And yet drawing it not only increases it by 80% as well, like the writing, but it increases the time that it happens because our brains are much more effective at working with color, image, and symbols than they are with words. So it's almost like rewiring and giving our brain instructions from the invisible realm of what's not yet manifest to the three-dimensional realm of what we can see and feel and touch and experience with our five senses. It's pulling a potential from the quantum field onto the page and then giving it life. And then we've also generated the high elevated emotions and the feelings of what that's going to look like. And so we are wiring our brain to create that into the present future. That's dream designs.
I never quite heard about mandalas and color in that way to explain how we bring something into manifestation. Thank you.
Well, you know, Jungian psychology used mandalas a lot in terms of helping clients come into a state of coherence and wholeness. And then in my work with Dr. Joe and with art therapy and the expressive arts, I thought this is a really brilliant way to bring things from the invisible realm to seen realms.
So tell us about your book and why you created it as a journal. And then, you know, what are the key points you'd like our listeners to take from you today?
Sure. Let's see. So briefly, the journal is an interactive expressive arts playbook. I don't even like using the word workbook. And the first 30 pages or so are all instructional with just a treasure trove of activities, which are journaling based and expressive arts based and drawing, sounding, moving, energy medicine, exercises, all kinds of meditations and different postures. And so it's all set up so that someone can then take the other 150 some odd pages that are templates and start to take themselves on a journey of discovering, who am I now and what am I here to serve at this point in my life and what brings me joy and how can I kind of shake up and get out of the trance of what we might say is the expected narrow band of reality in daily life and really start to tap into their unlimited nature, start to tap into their whole brain, heart coherence, into their creativity, and really come alive in a way that shifts from an experience in the journal for a few months to a way of life where they are feeling more creative, more connected, more in love, and more fulfilled as a soul, rather than just living the drone life of the mind. So it's an invitation out of the head and into the fullness of our potential.
And how can people get your book and how can they contact you? Do you have any events coming up?
Yes, I have lots of events. I live in Austin, Texas, and I have events both locally and travel as well to teach. They can find the book on Amazon. It's Everyday Magnificent Practices to Activate an Unlimited Life by Gabriela Masala. And they can contact me and also get the book and find out more about my events at www.gabrielamasala.com. That's GABRIELAMASALA.com. And really takeaways, Dr. Erica, would be that people can wake up to new possibilities of who they are and what their life is for, and fall in love with their lives in a way where they light up and then become a light in the world.
And we could go on and on, but that is so beautiful for each of us to become a light in the world. And all we have to do is think about someone that we've known or that we've read about who did just that. One person here and there who made a big difference in a lot of people's lives.
Yes.
So
yes.
Just tell us again your website and anything else you want to end with.
Sure. Everyday Magnificent practices to activate an unlimited life, because it is for all of us, not just for some of us. And I really feel we need all hands on deck right now to light up our world and turn things around on this planet in a really beautiful way. I see the potential. I'm living it into reality, and invite everyone who's willing to do that as well. And please contact me anytime at www.gabriellamasala.com. I'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much, Dr. Erica.
Yes, and thank you so much for being on the show today. What a delight to hear the way you put words together to explain these simple but deep phenomena.
Oh, well, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for all the amazing work you're doing as well. Certainly love, leading with love is the greatest way for me. I cast all my votes for it.
Thank you. And to those of you listening, I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, saying goodbye for now. Please visit my website at drericagoodstone.com. Lots of material there. And ask for a complimentary Healing Through Love session. I look forward to speaking to you again soon.